Our scripture is from Ezekiel 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. The word of the Lord. Our epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our earthly dwelling, our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, so that we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are all of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. The word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What is the kingdom of God? Our gospel lesson describes how the kingdom of God miraculously increases, how it sprouts and grows somehow. But what is the kingdom of God? When I was in seminary, we often used this description of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God exists where the gifts of God are given and received. So where are God's gifts given and received? Well, it happens right here in church. Every Sunday, we begin with a proclamation that we've gathered to receive the gifts of God. We don't gather here to receive marching orders for the week. We gather to receive God's gifts of forgiveness and comfort and consolation and assurance of his love for you. Some of you might question the idea that our purpose every Sunday morning is to receive God's gifts rather than receive God's marching orders. Maybe it doesn't sound right. Maybe it seems we should be told what to do in church. Well, if you read Romans 7, where Paul says, the evil I don't want to do, I keep on doing, And you read Matthew 5 where Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. If you even read 2 Samuel 11 and 12, the story of David and Bathsheba. In fact, pretty consistently throughout Scripture, I'm betting, if you read it, that you'll come to the conclusion that we're all in trouble. And what you need first and foremost, what you need most desperately is God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness before any marching orders. You know, if this were a country club for saints, for people who have it all together, maybe it would be appropriate to hand out assignments and then go home. But this is not a country club for saints. This is a hospital for sinners. And here's your prescription for today, your medicine. First, it's the sight of the baptismal font when you enter the doors, a reminder that you've been baptized, you've been marked as belonging to Christ. And then your prescription calls for a full dose of the words of absolution, the proclamation of the entire forgiveness of all your sins. And then you're invited to drink down the tonic of God's word proclaimed straight from the Bible, the law and the gospel both. And finally, you receive the medicine of communion, bread and wine, somehow, some way containing the body and blood of Christ, his body given for you and his blood shed for you, shed when he paid the debt that you owe. You are the citizens of the kingdom of God, and this is where you gather to receive the benefits of citizenship. Benefits that sustain you and encourage you and comfort you all week, often without you even being aware of it. And on this Confirmation Sunday, we're excited to welcome our confirmands into full participation, receiving all the gifts of God. But it's not just Confirmation Sunday. It's Father's Day, too. And I want to tell a story I recently heard, a true story about a father. Lutheran theologian Rod Rosenblatt is a guy who I quote every now and then. He's from the Northwest. He grew up in Seattle, the son of a prominent surgeon, a doctor who is not only well known in the medical community, but also well known in the community at large. Being from a very affluent family, Rod Rosenblatt enjoyed some things that not every kid had, like a new car to drive when he was in high school in the early 1960s. And because he had this car, he was the first choice among his friends to drive whenever they went somewhere as a group. So one night in high school, Rod Rosenblatt was behind the wheel with four of his friends in his new car. And they'd been drinking. They were drunk, all of them. Drunk and driving too fast. And they got in a wreck, an almost head-on collision with another car. So Rod Rosenblatt called his dad. Thankfully, no one was hurt seriously. And Dr. Rosenblatt came to the scene. He talked to the police and loaded all the boys into his car and took each one of them home before returning to his own home with his son, Rod, in the front seat. Entering the house, Rod Rosenblatt was sobbing and shaking uncontrollably. The effects of shock, his father said. Shock and probably fear of what was going to happen next. When Rod Rosenblatt had calmed down, his father began to speak, And this is what he said. Rod, I think I know what we need to do. We need to get you a new car. I'll use my lunch breaks this week to see what I can find. But we'll get you a good one. Here's why I'm telling this story. It's offensive. A drunk high school kid from a privileged family, almost killing himself and four of his friends. And his dad pats him on his hiney and promises him a new car. It's offensive. It's offensive just like the parable of the prodigal son. It's offensive like when Jesus refused to punish the woman caught in the very act of adultery. It's offensive like God's forgiveness of King David, who slept with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. It's offensive just like the gospel of God's extravagant and reckless forgiveness is offensive. Always offensive. You know, some of us have or had great dads. Some of us had a dad for only a short while. Some of us have or had deficient dads. And some of us never had a dad. But all of us here have a Father in heaven who sacrificed his own son for you because he loves you and forgives you extravagantly, recklessly, regardless of whether anyone finds it offensive or not. That's the gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, cause us to understand this, and cause it to fill us with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.